It's good for us to be together this evening. We're in John chapter 1. If you want to open up your booklets there from Harkrider, John chapter 1. I'm going to touch on a few things, and then we're going to go into the question. We're just going to go on the prologue tonight. So it's interesting. Wilson gave a wonderful introduction last week. If you weren't here, you missed some very good material that he had set forth. I am going to, believe it or not, I know you saw me how slow I was the last time I taught, so I'm going to just pick some things we're going to go over so we can get into some of the questions. But it's interesting because you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You have Matthew and Luke who begin at the birth of Christ and goes to some of the prophecies concerning Christ, Matthew and Luke. You have Mark who goes immediately into the situation of Jesus' ministry. You had John the Baptist, and you had the ministry of Jesus right there. John is totally unique because he goes into the deity of Christ. If we were doing a very detailed study, you could probably spend 2-3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, just on the first 17 verses. But since we're not doing a detailed study, I want you to turn to page number 1 and the prologue there. And Brother Harkrider, as he points out in the beginning, that the term was God, and the word was with God, and he uses that the word comes from the word logos. Now, logos was a very familiar word at that time, both by the Greeks and also by the Jews, but never with this focus, and that is the focus of the deity of Christ. And I like what Harkrider, if you're on page number 1, I like what Harkrider says at the end of that. If you're looking at the bottom under A, verse 1, he goes on to state, Jesus Christ, the Word, communicates God to us not only by what he says, because logos, meaning his speaking or giving the mind of God, not only what he says, but by what he is. Now, you could go off a tangent. This is a wonderful book to study when you're dealing with Jehovah's Witnesses, but we're not dealing with Jehovah's Witnesses tonight, so we're going to just focus to the context. So what I want us to do to begin with is look at some of those passages he's listed there. Notice, not only by what he says, but what he is. So, Bonnie, go to Colossians 2:9. Mary, go to Hebrews 1:3. Let's see. Okay. Becky, go to John 1:1. You're going to read that whole verse for us. And Revelation 19:13. Bill, why don't you do that one for us? Revelation 19:13. So let's start. Now this is tied together with what he has just said. I'm sure you read them ahead of time, but it's good to reflect upon them again as to who we are dealing with. And that is, of course, deity. So let's start with Colossians 2:9. And when you read, just say what version you're reading from, so in case it might be a little bit different. Go on, Bonnie.
For in him all the fullness of deity dwells bodily.
Okay, now yours says deity, which I like. The New King James Version says Godhead. All right, the second one, I believe, Mary, that was you, wasn't it?
I thought you told me Hebrews.
Yeah, that's right, Hebrews 1:3.
Okay. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high.
Okay, and the thing we want to focus on this, and again, we're not spending much time on this, but the idea, not just an image of God, he's what? The express image of God. He is God in the flesh, is what we're learning here. Becky, go ahead and read John 1:1.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Okay. Now, as we have that, go one more. Bill, read Revelation 19:13 for us, please.
All right. This is the New King James Version. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
Okay. So all of these focusing to whom? To Jesus Christ. So John starts out on a completely different way, and that is showing this man I'm going to teach you about, this man who did these miracles, is more than a man. He's deity in the flesh. He goes on, like I said, I'm going to touch on a few points. You're going to get your turn to talk when we go to the questions, and you can say some things at that time. It says, in the beginning, the Word was with God. Now, there's two passages. Let's go to John 17:5. John chapter 17 and verse 5. Glenda, do you want to read that one for us, please? John 17 and verse 5. And then let's go to Philippians chapter 2, 6 and 7. Philippians and let's go. Wilson, you read Philippians 2, 6 and 7 for me. So let's first read John 17, 5 and just quickly ponder that for a moment. John 17, 5, Glenda. Okay, notice the thing on that, the glory which I had with thee. Again, he was not someone who was created. He's a part of deity. He's the express image of God. All right, Wilson, read, and what version are you using? You use the American Standard?
You say 6 or 7?
Yes.
Who existing in the form of God, counted not being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of man.
Now, I like Wilson's version. Now, I use the New King James Version, and generally I like that. But I like Wilson's version on that better, because if you have the King James or New King James, it has the word robbery. And a lot of people can't comprehend what's this idea of robbery. And it has the idea, if you go back to the Greek, and I don't know Greek other than what I read from those who share it with me, it means a thing to be retained. In other words, he was equal with God, but he didn't have it to retain it. He didn't feel he had to retain it. He gave that up to become man. So again, another one said, a thing to be held on to for an advantage. So again, before he came in the flesh, he was with God, but he didn't allow himself for that he had to grasp it, that he had to lay hold on. He was willing to release that to take on the form of flesh. You know, the more I study these 17 verses, the more I'm amazed that God would do this for us, but he did. All right, and so you have, in the beginning was the Word was with God. So again, not he was God's first created. He was there eternally with God. We're going to touch on that in a little bit here. As we go on, same verses, it says the Word was God. Not only is he with God, but he was God. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. Who wants to read that for me? All right, go ahead, Steve.
But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom.
All right, notice, who is he talking about here in Hebrews 1:8? The Jesus. But he says, your throne, O God. It's not like some think that God, the Father, created. No, he didn't create him. He's a part of deity. The trouble we have with deity, you have three distinct personalities in deity. You had the Father, you had the Word, who later became the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit. So you have these three entities that make up the one deity, and that just goes to show that. All right, let's look at the next passage that he uses in his book, in John 20 and verse 28. John 20 and verse 28. Susan, you want to read that for us, please? John 20 and 28. Again, I don't want to go into great detail about the Jehovah's Witnesses. How many here have from time to time studied with Jehovah's Witnesses? Raise your hand. Okay, one of the things they will say, and they admit, and their Bible is totally inappropriate in the book of John chapter 1. But I used this one time with two or three Jehovah's Witnesses. I used this passage where Thomas says, my Lord and my God. And I asked them to explain that to me. You know what they said? They said, they looked at Jesus as my Lord, and then he looked up in heaven, my God. But that's not what's being taught there. And could you take the next verse? He's focusing to Jesus himself. Jesus is a part of deity. We need to understand. In fact, throughout the book of John, he emphasizes that through various means, that this is the one who came in the flesh. Yes, Cindy.
My sister is a dedicated Jehovah's Witness, and my mom has, you know, tried to get her out of it for years. you know, just trying to help my mom see, look, you just have to pray, you have to pray, you have to pray. He's going to do it, not what you say. She thinks she has to have the perfect quote, but, you know, I start reading, trying to find quotes for her, and all through John, it's like, you cannot read John without realizing Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is God. And I don't know what Bible, she keeps telling us it's the same Bible, except John 1:1, what she told me was
a God. And they use the New World Translation. And the New World Translation is a translation by guess whom?
Jehovah's
Witnesses. So on things that they didn't like, they changed the wording. Yes, Bill?
Can I give an illustration?
You can give one, and then I've got one. So you can't. Yours can't be any longer than mine, and mine's only a couple of minutes, so go on.
Okay. In the Old Testament, they wouldn't understand the Godhead as being three individual personalities making up one, because Christ hadn't died for them yet. He hadn't come for that purpose yet.
Okay.
And so in the Old Testament, God is referred to or spoken of as the one God. Of course, there are many different names for what God does, or descriptive phrases of what God does.
Okay.
But they wouldn't understand the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in God's plan at that time.
Correct.
So how do you explain to people the Godhead, the three personalities? I'd like to give you an illustration of how you can look at this and it fits.
Okay.
God is the planner.
Yeah.
Say we're building a house. What do you need? You need someone to draw up the plans. You need someone to build it, and then you need a realtor to show all the features and show you how to use what has been built.
Okay.
Okay. God is aloof in his holiness, higher than we can even imagine.
Okay.
In Hebrews, I think it is, where it says, holy, holy, holy is God the Father. In the actual first scriptures, in the King James Version, they shortened that to three holies. In the actual, going back as far as we can go with the manuscripts, holy is repeated 12 times.
Okay.
That's how holy God is. No man has seen God the Father because of his immense, beyond understanding, holiness. He is the pattern. He is the source.
Okay. I want to stop you here for a minute, Bill. And again, when we talk about God, and you're talking about the Father, but you also have the Word and the Holy Spirit in the property of that. You go back to Genesis 1, let us make man in our image, the us, the plurality. Now, I want to give another illustration real quickly before we move on, showing the deity of Christ. And that's worship. Now let's go to Acts chapter 10, 25, 26. Ron, would you read that for me, please? Acts 10, 25, and 26. Casey, would you get for me Revelation 22, 8 and 9? Revelation chapter 22, 8 and 9. And let's go ahead, Wilson and Becky. Wilson, you do Matthew 8, 2. Becky, you do Matthew 14, 33. Okay, so now this is also an illustration showing the deity of Christ. And I'm going based upon worship. The first illustration, and Ron's going to read that for us, is speaking of Peter. So read that for us, Ron, Acts chapter 10, 25 and 26.
I got the New American Standard.
Okay.
When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshipped him. And Peter raised him up and saying, stand up, I too am just a man.
Okay, let's stop and think about that. So here's Peter at Cornelius' home,
Cornelius bows down to worship him. What does the apostle tell him? Get up. Don't worship me. Okay, go ahead, Casey. Read the one in Revelation. Now, there's Peter the apostle there. Okay.
What was the Revelation one?
Revelation chapter 22, verses 8 and 9. Okay, here's another occasion where, again, an apostle, on this time, on the first time was Cornelius, this time it's an apostle who bows down to worship the angel, and the angel says, no, don't worship me, I'm not God. Now, the two passages both Wilson and Becky are going to read, Jesus is worshipped. How does he respond? Go ahead, Wilson. Notice, but he bowed down, and does Jesus tell him, don't worship me? Because who is Jesus? God. Becky.
I'm sorry, what was the verse?
The verse I gave you, and let me see what have, okay. Matthew 14:33.
Sorry.
No problem.
And those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God.
This is the apostles. So again, I'm just giving you an illustration. Jesus was with God and is God. How do I know that? I've given you an illustration of the New Testament. He accepted worship. Who only is to accept worship? God. So what is Jesus? Jesus is God.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Bonnie, as I was getting those passages. You said something and I didn't hear you. Nothing.
No, we're trying to get the verses. Yeah.
Trying to get the verses.
Because when you give a multiple number of verses, I can only remember the first one.
Well, see, that's why I got my notes. Okay, now, so he deals with that, and then in verse 4, so he says, okay, this is God, he's going to come to you, and he's going to bring what to the world in verse 4?
Life
and light. Life and light. And when we talk about Jesus and life and light, we have verses 4 and 5. Look at the book of John, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. It's talking about Christ. He shines in darkness. Darkness represents what?
Sin.
Ungodliness, sin. So here it is, in the beginning, this deity is going to bring forth life and light. We know when that happens, and that's in verse 14, when he becomes flesh. The word was made flesh, correct? But as we have him being life and light, and John chapter 14 and verse 6, and again, there's many other passages that can be used. But John chapter 14 and verse 6. Let's go ahead. Does Steve, you want to get that one? And then John 8 and 12. Brent, would you get John chapter 8 and verse 12 for me?
Tyler, I didn't see you over there. We're looking through. I'll get you in a minute here. Okay, John 14, 6. Steve.
Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Okay. Now, it's not stating that there was no truth in the Old Testament. God presented truth in the Old Testament, but now the ultimate truth is coming. The completed revelation, the mind of God, is going to be revealed through Christ. And Brent, read your one, your passage.
And Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.
So here, John is setting the stage. Deity is going to make known life and light. Not only did he was involved in physical life, he's going to bring forth spiritual life. He came into a world of darkness that's going to bring forth light. Mary, did you have your hand up?
I was trying to find the second verse. What was it?
Okay, the second verse was John chapter 8:12. Okay, as we continue, I know I'm going quickly, but I'm determined to get my 17 verses done tonight. Now, Wilson said, you could take a couple of weeks. Wilson doesn't know me. When he said you could take a couple of weeks, I might be up here for 3 weeks. And with this 28 chapters, so I'm trying. I've never worked as a team, but I'm looking forward to working and team teaching with Wilson. As we go on, he communicates as his communication to us, all things were made by him. Not all other things. All things were made by him. And we have a number of passages. The one I'm going to use, I'm going to skip some because I'm watching the clock because I know when I want to get into the questions. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 17. Colossians 1, 15 through 17. Tyler, will you read that for me, please?
Colossians 1, 15 through 17. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things are created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things are created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
All right, now, let's not get caught up in the New King James Version. He's the image of the individual God, the firstborn. Not that he was born, but he's the priority. This word firstborn can also be defined as his relationship to the Father, expressing his preeminence. So the firstborn here is not that he was born, but he was had the preeminence over creation. And you can see that within the context. Because if he was the firstborn, if he's literally talking about being the firstborn, then verse 16 wouldn't make any sense. It would say all other things, but it doesn't say all other things. It says what?
All things.
All things. And in verse 17, it says he's before all things. Likewise, in Hebrews chapter 1, 2 says the same thing. And I think here's the thing we need to be careful as someone's going to take you to a passage and they're going to use and camp around one verse. You have to take it in its context and define it in its context. Otherwise, passages are going to be misused. Again, I'm not trying to just pick on the Jehovah's Witnesses, but the book of John is where they really don't get it, period. And another thing on the Holy Spirit, they've got the Holy Spirit as an active force. Well, no, the Holy Spirit is a personality in the Godhead, as the book of Acts teaches you alive to the Holy Spirit. So you have to be careful when you're studying with somebody that they just don't take a verse and make it say what they want it to say. Does that make sense to everybody? Yes, but Bonnie.
I know you don't want to get into the firstborn thing, but that's something that's always kind of, it ticks on me.
Okay.
I read a commentary and they explained it like this very easily. Christ is preeminent to all things. To him belongs the right and dignity of the firstborn in relation to every creature. He's prior to, distinct from, and highly exalted above every creature. And as firstborn, he is heir and ruler of all.
Excellent definition. I don't see where you had that. That's a wonderful one. I should have called you up and I could have used that one better than this one. But yeah, he's the first. It's just like when he goes in the Old Testament and he states, Israel is my firstborn. And it wasn't that Israel was the first to be born, because we can go back in the book of Genesis and see others born, right? Israel is his priority, his preeminent. I just want to point that out. And all I did those passages is show who was involved in creation. Jesus was. Okay, I want to go to one more verse, and then we're going to open it up for your answers to the question. And that is in verse 12. Verse 12. So we're at John chapter 1, drop down to verse 12. Okay. Mary, read that for me, please. John 1, verse 12.
By as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, and even to them that believe on his name.
Okay, and I liked how Brother Harkrider pointed it out in his book, but notice what's not there, the word only. Those who believe have the right to become his children. Now, let me give you an illustration of that. So notice we're looking at this verse, and I'm going to give you a few passages to tie with this verse. Go with me, if you will, to John chapter 6 and verse 44. John chapter 6 and verse 44. And let's go ahead. Casey, read that for me, please. John 6. And if I didn't call on your name and you like to read, bring that to my attention, because next week I will get you involved. I'll have you read the whole time. I won't have you read the whole time, but get you involved. Do you read, Cindy? No, okay.
I do, but I don't want to read you.
Okay. Casey, John 6, 44, please. Okay, now look at John 6, 44. Tie that together now back with John 1, 12. As many as have received him. Okay, do you see that in John 1, 12? And in John 6, 44, it says, no one can come to me except the Father draws him. Now, the question is, so to receive him, how does one receive him? The Father draws him. How does the Father draw him? Romans 1, 16. For I am not ashamed of what? The gospel, for it is the power of who? God to salvation. Now notice, no one can come to Jesus and say, except the Father draws him. How does the Father draw him? Through the gospel. Now let's go back to John chapter 1 and verse 12. Notice it says, as many as received him. A lot of people don't receive him. Acts 2, they received him. 37 through 42. Remember 41? Those who gladly received this word were what? Baptized. However, in Acts 13, 46, let's go to Acts chapter, giving you a contrast here now. Acts 13, 46, and let's go ahead and have Brent, would you read that for us, please? Acts 13 and verse 46. Okay, so as many as receive him, not everybody's going to receive him. How are they going to receive him? Through the preaching of the gospel. But they've got to be receptive to it. Are you following what I'm saying with John chapter 1 and verse 12? So it's not just someone who believed, John 12, 42. Many of the chief rulers believed, but they refused to confess his name. They didn't receive him. So we need to tie that together, and he points that out. All right. Devils also believe, that's right, in the book of James, devils also believed and trembled. And the point that we need to make, you know, we could say you're saved by belief. The trouble is, you have to explain people the type of belief. And that's the belief from the Word of God. So again, receiving Jesus, we learn it through the gospel. In fact, that's why the Gospel of John is written, John 20, 31. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But of course, that belief is an obedient belief. All right. Got only 15 minutes. So let's go into as many questions as we can cover. Question number one. I had five things, by the way, but I'll listen to your four things. that's the trouble when someone else writes the question. Brother Harkwriter didn't ask me what he did a fine job. What four things did you put down about the Word? Yes, Mary. Okay.
All things are made by him.
Okay.
In him was life.
Okay.
And he is the light that shineth through the darkness.
I accept all those. Yes, Becky.
I have. He was God and was with God in the beginning and became flesh.
Okay. And I would accept that. This is one of the things, and I'm not belittling. Brother Harkwright is a very smart man, and I love his workbooks. But on some of their questions, you could answer this many different ways and be right. Anybody else have anything to add to that?
Well, I said, because they start out saying, talking about the Word. So he was light, and he was life.
Okay. So. Light and life. And again, that's correct too. So again, it's just showing, here's what the Word has accomplished. Does that make sense before we move on? Okay, let's look at question number two. What did the Word do in the creation? He created all things. He's involved in creating all things. Not all other things, all things. I want to emphasize that to you. He's a part of deity. He created all things, not all other things. All right. Question number three. What was in him?
Life
and light.
Now, it's interesting, like I said, you could use life from two angles. He brought forth physical life, but really I think he's brought forth spiritual life by what he's brought forth, and he's the light. He shows us the way because man can't direct himself, even though we try all the time, do we not? So that's another thing. All right, question number four. For what purpose was John sent?
As a witness to the light and to testify.
Right, and Wilson's going to go in much more detail in that next week on the rest of the chapter as he talks about John the Baptizer. And he is the Baptist, but that wasn't his name, you know. So, you know, you see things like that. That's not, he baptized. That's what he was. He was the forerunner. And it's interesting, he knew his place. John didn't have any envy issues when Jesus came because he knew his place. And he was sent of God. This was not his own mission. Anybody else on that question? All right, let's go to question number five. How did the world respond to the light?
They didn't.
Did not know him. Now we're going to explain that a little bit further. Run with me, if you will, to John chapter 3, just very quickly now. John chapter 3. Okay. And look at for verses 19 and 20. Actually, 19 through 21. Go ahead, Bill, would you read that for me, please? John chapter 3, 19 through 21.
And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that the deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God.
Okay, and I think this goes back with what we're reading in John chapter 1, that the light and the society did not receive him because basically they didn't want to change. Now the reason why we, and again I got to be careful I don't go off on a tangent, the reason we have so many religious people today in all these different groups is that God's word has been watered down. So they got the feeling they're okay, when in reality they're not okay. You know, society has just picked and chosen different things that people want to hear, because if they would be doing the things that God's word has to say, this would be a great society. This would be a great society. But people want to profess Christ, but do it on their terms. And that's basically what he's saying there. His terms was you follow the light. Well, they didn't want to follow it. It's like one person told me, well, I want to be religious, but I don't want to be a religious fanatic. And the point is, if you're going to be religious according to the scriptures, you've got to give your all. And guess what that requires? Being a fanatic. you're a religious fanatic. That means he comes first in all things. Okay, quickly, let's go on. We've got a few more passages to go over. All right. How did who are, and verse number, question six, who are his own?
The Jews.
Do we all agree that his own, he came to his own, and his own did not respond to, did not? And that's sad, because how many Old Testament prophecies are about the Christ? But in my opinion, the reason they didn't accept that is they were looking for a physical kingdom. And therefore, all those prophecies they kind of put aside because he didn't meet the kingly type who they thought he should be. He thought they're going to just stomp out Rome and there's going to be a physical thing, and therefore they turned away from him, in my opinion. Question number seven. To whom does he give power to become sons of God? As many as receive him. Another passage you could put with that is James chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save yourself, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. And then as we go on, question eight, what type of glory did the word display?
Glory of the Father.
Glory of the Father. Anybody else? That's what I have, by the way. But anybody else want to add something?
The glory as the only begotten Son of the Father.
All right.
Full of grace and truth.
When they saw Jesus, who did they see?
The Father.
The Father. He brought forth clearly the Father. The Father is not flesh and blood, but he displayed who the Father is in his life. And we're going to see that as we go throughout the book of John. All right, question number 9. What came through Moses and Christ? What came through Moses? The law. Where do you go for that? Old Testament. Exodus to Deuteronomy. Remember, Leviticus, the law was given, but you go to the law. And the law fulfilled it. There was nothing wrong with the law. Galatians talks about that. It wasn't the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law was to lead them to who? Christ. And that's why it says grace and truth comes through Christ. Now, was there some truth in the Old Testament? Absolutely. Was there some favor in the Old Testament? Absolutely. But not to the extent that it is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right? Yes?
I was just going to say, I like, I don't see where it is here now, but I liked his comments. Again, if I would just, without taking up your time.
No, go ahead. Are you there?
No, I'm just saying, go back and, everybody go back and read that section in the book. I thought he explained it very well.
Okay, and that was verse 14 are you talking about? Verse 14. Let's see how long. Go ahead and.
Moses served his purpose well, but it was never intended to be. Well, that's 17.
Yeah.
That God would come.
No, 17. You want 17, I think. I'm just trying to confuse you.
Yeah. It was never intended to be God's revelation for all men of all times. Grace, unmerited forgiveness of sins, and truth, the full revelation of God's scheme of redemption are revealed in Christ.
Okay.
I thought that was well said.
And that's true. Yes, Ron.
I read somewhere, the Old Testament and the New Testament is concealed, and the New Testament and the Old Testament is revealed.
Okay. And again, that statement, we could go into a lot of different passages on that, so I'm not trying to overlook that. That's a good point. All right, as we go on, to this on question number 10. Why do we need the only begotten Son to declare the Father?
No one has seen God except the Son.
Okay.
So that's the only way we can know the Father.
We know the Father through the Son. Oh, by the way, that goes back to John 6:44. On how God draws people to him, it's going to be through the Son. And how is that? Through the gospel. Anybody else? Okay, now on the true and false questions. We're going to go all over all of them. But you have 5 questions, and I came up with only 1 true question out of the 5. You got 4 false, 1 true. Let's see if we agree. The first one is what?
False.
False. And that's found in verse 5. If you didn't put the verse on, that's found in verse 5. Yes, Becky?
This always amazes me with the theory of the rapture. To think that anyone thinks that the dark could defeat the light. And the whole theory is based upon the fact that God's plan was stymied. In premillennialism, it was like, oh, well, Jesus came to, you know, and everything, but then, no, that didn't work out, so he's going to do something later.
I'm glad Becky brought that up, because like I've told you, I was not raised in the church, so before being a part of the Lord's church, I embraced some of premillennial teachings. And when I was taught the truth, it made so clear to me, because if their teachings are correct, and there's different forms of premillennialism, there's not one form. But any of those forms, if any of them are right, then God's word is wrong. Then Jesus failed. The one form that was popular where I was at was Jesus came to set up the kingdom, the Jews rejected him, so he withdrew the offer of the kingdom, and he set up the church as a temporary measure. And he's going to come back after this great rapture and set up the kingdom upon the earth for 1,000 years. And it sounded good when they used all their charts and that, wow, but it does not fit the profile. Because if Jesus came to set up the kingdom and it wasn't set up, what does that tell us about Jesus?
He failed.
He failed. And if that was the case, who's to say he wouldn't fail again? Oh, and by the way, not only did he fail, Isaiah failed. Because Isaiah talks about his death. Oh, and not only that, and Daniel failed.
because Daniel talks about, once I started learning the truth, how did I get caught up in that? So I'm glad Becky brought that up, because it just makes no sense. Then darkness would rule. We're a part of the kingdom today, a kingdom that cannot be destroyed. Question number two, true and false. John was the light that lights every man.
False.
Verse 8, Jesus is the light. John was the forerunner to show this is the light. Question number three, what is the truth? And those who believe only are made sons of God.
False.
What makes it false is the word only. Those who believe have a right to become. Just because you believe, you have a right to become a son of God. And that's what Brent is teaching every other week on Sundays in the book of Acts. The right to become children of God is to obey the gospel. All right. And question number four is?
True.
John testified that Jesus preferred before him, even though, physically speaking, John was born before Jesus. All right. Question five. Only Moses had seen God.
False.
Now, again, we only have a couple of minutes. In the Old Testament, there were a lot of different manifestations of God, but they didn't see God. God was manifested by the fire and the cloud to Israel. God was manifested to Moses, where he was put in the cleft of the rock, where he could see his hinder part, but not his face. So, in various ways in the Old Testament, but no one actually seen the manifestation of God except the Son of God. Because the Son of God was with God and is God before he came to this earth. And thank goodness for that. Now we can know there's a God just by creation. But we get to know God intimately by his written word. We get to know his character by his Son. We get to know his love by his sacrifice. Last point, and then we'll let Steve take over the singing. And that was the research. Now, I'm just going to give you some passages. I'll read these. You might have had more. But here's what I had for that first question. It says, how many times and where is Jesus referred to as the light? I have John 1:4, John 1:5, John 1:7, John 1:8, John 1:9, John 3:19 through 21, John 8:12, John 9:5, John 12:35 and 36, and John 12:46. Could I have missed some? Perhaps I could have. Yes. And Bonnie found one I missed.
No. It says how many times in John.
Well, that's how I use it. Okay, well, in my concordance, then it's you got different words being used for that then. And I had to go back to my old paperback concordance because my computer broke down. So I couldn't just click a number and just let them all pop up. So I may have made a mistake. But the point is, throughout the book of John, it is manifested as the light. In fact, I'm not going to go into it, but some time back, Wilson wrote an article about Jesus being the light. What's the name of that book? About Melvin Curry? I forget the name of it. One something, but beautifully. You need to, if you don't have it, I'll let you share my copy. He's probably got 100 copies he'll sell you. No. But, so we're out of time. Wilson will take the rest of the chapter for next week. I appreciate your participation.